Speaking of singers, our next Fresh Air concert, which will broadcast sometime later this summer, is with Daryl Sherman. Let's hear a track from her new CD, A Lady Must Live.
Spring is here. I'm a fool if I fall again. And yet, I'm enthralled by its call again. You say you love me. I know from the past. You mean to love me, but these things don't last. Fools rush in to begin new love affairs. But tonight, my dear, who cares? Fun to be fooled. Fun to pretend. Fun to believe love is unending. Thought I was done. Still, it is fun being fooled again. Nice when you tell all that you feel. Nice to be told this is the real thing. Fun to be kissed. Fun to exist. To be fooled again. It's that old devil moon having his fling once more, selling me spring once more. I'm afraid love is king once more. Fun to be fooled. Fun to pretend. Little dream won't end. Fun to be fooled. Fun to pretend. Fun to believe love is unending.
Daryl Sherman from her new CD, A Lady Must Live. We'll feature a concert and interview with her later this summer. Well, after talking about the voice, it's time to think about writing. We now rely on our computers to check our spelling errors. But what do we want from a computer program when it comes to the rules of grammar? Our linguist, Jeff Nunberg, has been thinking about the computer's editing functions and our own expectations.
To the list of crimes and derelictions that Bill Gates has been charged with, we can now add the murder of the English language. At least that's the opinion of writer Ralph Schoenstein in a recent New York Times op-ed piece on the Microsoft Word grammar checker. Schoenstein complains that the checker doesn't flag the simplest errors. It doesn't protest when you modify absolute terms like unique, as in she was a most unique woman. It makes no objection when you fail to use the subjunctive in sentences like if I was a player, I would go, and so on for dozens of other traditional rules of usage. Actually, the only mystery here is why anyone would expect grammar checkers to work as well as spell checkers do. It could be, of course, that people have been so snowed by techno-hype that they expect computers to be able to do anything. If they can beat a grandmaster at chess, why can't they edit a simple freshman composition? But copy editing calls for a lot more discrimination than playing chess, and discrimination isn't computers' long suit. You might want your checker to flag he sells most unique rugs on the grounds that something either is unique or isn't. But you'd want it to accept most unique rugs command high prices. Spotting that distinction is a lot harder than figuring out if somebody spelled weird with EI or IE. When you think about what's involved in the process, in fact, it's impressive that the checkers can accomplish even simple things like spotting the subject-verb agreement error in a sentence like, the boy have left. The real problem with grammar checkers isn't that they fail to catch so many obvious problems, as that they're built to spot so many bogus ones. As time goes by, they seem to pander more and more to all the infantile schoolroom prejudices that people have about usage. Back in the days when checkers were sold as separate software products, I recall talking to a woman who was in charge of development at one software house. When she started out, she said she was full of high hopes about bringing grammatical uplift to the masses. It's certainly an alluring prospect, the idea that writers might have this grammatical angel hovering permanently at their shoulders. But when she started talking to the salespeople, she was quickly disabused. "How come our checker doesn't flag split infinitives?" they'd say. And she'd say, "Oh, that's just a stupid superstition." And they'd answer, "Well, it may be stupid, but the other checkers have it, and they're using it as a selling point against ours." So, of course, in went the split infinitive, along with all the other schoolroom fetishes that have been giving grammar a bad name for centuries. Don't end a sentence with a preposition, don't begin a sentence with and or but, and, of course, avoid the passive. After a while, that angel over your shoulder starts to sound less like H.W. Fowler than like Richard Simmons. You can't blame the computer for the dumbing down. The trivialization of usage was accelerating well before Bill Gates graduated from what used to be called a grammar school. You can see it in the Sunday Supplement language columns, in the publishing houses that have taken to firing their copy editors to save money, or the textbooks that list all of these rules under the heading of sentence mechanics. You can see it in the reverence that people accord to Strunk and White's little book, The Elements of Style, which has done more than anything else to persuade people that the whole subject of usage can be reduced to a few pithy maxims, which is what leads them to suppose that computers can deal with it. And in the end, it may well be the grammar checkers that seal the fate of usage. It's like most of the other tasks we perform by means of the computer, like web searching or talking to a voice recognition system. After a while, we learn to accommodate ourselves to the limits of the technology. In every relationship, after all, somebody has to be the adaptable one. If computers can't distinguish between the passive sentences that make sense and the ones that don't, we'll spare ourselves a lot of problems just by avoiding the whole construction. Before long, we'll be conforming slavishly to all the rules the checkers can spot and ignoring the others. But it won't be Bill Gates' fault. Every age gets the software it deserves.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.